Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia, and along with my two wonderful friends from my church in Indiana, who are now a part of this ministry from a distance, and that is Betty, and that is also Cindy. And you two are such a joy. And, you know, it's so cool how God brings people back into our lives, because I've actually been gone from that church since 91, and I pastored it 7 years to the day. And it's interesting to me how many years later God has reunited us. And isn't that cool, Cindy? Isn't that cool?
It was all design planned from the beginning.
I agree.
You're looking back, you have to say, that was all connected.
It was.
Yeah. It's really cool to me that, because back then I had no idea what my part in the ministry was. And I always pondered it, you know, how would God use me in the ministry?
Right.
And then for a time, it was like there was that gap of time where there was so much uncertainty about the ministry itself involving the Beacon people. And then
right.
just one day that connection, he just put that all together a few years back now. So here we are. Reunited again.
It's cool, isn't it?
It's a very cool thing to me.
It is. Betty, you want to comment on that before we get to this next song? How God's timing. God's timing, isn't it?
It's impeccably right on time.
Right.
And it's just with, you know, like with you sitting down at a computer and you just hear this small voice go, you need to contact Marcia McAllister. And it's like,
that's what she did,
Marcia
Cindy.
McAllister?
That's what she did.
And I said, you have got to be kidding me. I said, she wouldn't remember me.
4 or 5 years ago.
He's like, why don't you try? He says, why don't you just try that again? And he said, look her up on the internet. You know, that's how he talks to me. Type her name in there on the computer and see what you get.
Well, yeah.
I remember that you worked for, you know, real estate company down in Florida at that time. And I typed it up and the name came up, but I thought, I wonder if that's the same Marcia McAllister. So I said, do you by any chance, the Pastor Marcia McAllister that used to be in Newcastle, Indiana, and, you know, get, you know, yada, yada, yada. And like, yes, you don't think I would not remember you?
That's right. That's
and
what I said, you silly
years,
goose.
How many years then? We just picked right up and walked off where we left.
That's
off.
Right. Praise
Amen,
God.
Sister. Amen.
Same thing happened with Cindy. Cindy makes a trip down and shows up at one of our Bible studies a few years back. And you could have blown me away with a feather, Cindy, when I saw you at the door.
The weirdest thing about that is I didn't plan to come to Florida to find you. I planned to come to Florida, but once I got there, he said that same thing. You need to contact Pastor McAllister. Now, at the time, I didn't know you were still pastor or if you had the church. I really didn't know. But like Betty, I knew you were in real estate.
Right.
So I started with that. And, I don't know, the computer just opened up everything. The church information, where you were located, all that. And I was like, how can it be? And, you know, lo and behold, I said, I'm going to take a chance to show up at the door and go to church tonight. So, yeah, that's how it all began. So,
well. Yeah. That's cool that we just talked about that, because it couldn't be a better segue to this song. God will make a way where there seems to be no way.
Where there seems to be no way, He works. works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way.
Praise God. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I love that song. It has seen me through some difficult times in my life when it seemed like I was in the wilderness. I mean, it says there, God will make a road through the wilderness, and that's from the book of Isaiah. And when it seems like everything is dried up, all of our opportunities, everything around us, God finds a way. Betty, comment on that before we... It's his presence. It's his point, too, right here, putting on right perfume. Here. You know, when we are... In his presence, he begins to reassure us that he will make a way where it seems to be no way. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, I do, Pastor. It seems like in the last, a personal reflection here is that there was a situation in my life where I didn't think I was going to be able to meet an end. And what I mean by meeting an end is there was something hanging over my head that came, and I thought, God, what am I going to do? I cannot get through this. I cannot make it through this. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to take me by the hand. Let me feel your presence again in my life, because you get so bogged down. We were talking about, you know, in the first half of the program, of getting bogged down with such of the daily activities that we forget about the presence of Almighty God.
Right,
and
exactly.
It took a step of faith for me to say, okay, God, because there's certain things in my life I think I have control over, and I had to relinquish all control, my control over him. And that sense of warmth, that perfume, that rejuvenation that comes with him, like lifting you off the floor in his presence and saying, why did it take you so long to communicate with me, Betty Lou?
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, because I didn't know what else to do. And he said, what you need to do is come to me first.
Amen.
Don't drag your feet. Don't come kicking. Don't come dragging your tail behind you.
Yeah.
Come to me first, my child.
Yes.
And watch what I can do.
Woo.
And it was that next day.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it doesn't happen that quick. And a very close individual to me said, I can help you. And at that point, I just broke.
Wow.
Because it was that, it was in that particular moment, where that Kairos moment, where that perfume becomes so evident.
Yes.
You can't stand.
Right.
You cannot stand in that presence. And I hit my knees and I said, God, I'm so sorry that I hope I didn't break your heart. I hope I didn't hurt you by not coming to you first.
Right.
He said, Betty Lou, you do it in other things. Something that tremendous, something that life-changing, you should have came to me first, my child.
Yeah.
And that's like going to your mom and dad when you need help and saying, Father, Mom, I need help.
Right.
Well, that's how close your Heavenly Father is, to be able to show how much he delights in us, how much he favors us in the small things and the huge things that are monumental, that can almost tear us down and bring us down, because that's where Satan wants us at that point, is to see us at that breaking point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
By that cleansing, by that perfume, by that presence of Almighty God, can break that darkness, can break
that's
those chains.
That's right.
And say, you know, I'm setting you on higher ground, because there's no weapon formed against you,
amen,
Betty Lou, that will prosper. And he can do that same thing for you, for Cindy, and any of our listeners.
Absolutely. You know, Betty Lou, last week Cindy was on the show with Nan and I, and Cindy, we ended up, I named that show, and it'll be up on our website this week. I named it what we came up with last week, Trust is a Must. And and one concept, Betty, that Cindy came up with last week that you may want to amplify on goes right along with what you're saying. Because Cindy said there are times that we get so down that we need to take time to get faithed up again. Faithed up, you know. And remember that, Cindy? And I has stuck with me all week, Cindy, that when we get so down, like what Betty's talking about, and we don't turn to God first when we are, and we don't think that he'll make a way where there seems to be no way, we've got to take time to get in the Word and get faithed up again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. We got to take time. I'm reminded of Psalm 1 right here, and then I want your comments on this, Cindy. Psalm 1 says, how blessed is the man who absolutely dwells in the presence of God. In fact, I'm going to read it exactly out of the King James here. I'm not King James. I'm sorry. You know I'm not going to do that. Out of the NIV. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight, and the way I read this around my house is this. My delight is in the law of the Lord. And on your law, Lord, I meditate day and night. Then I am like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever I do shall prosper. Comment on all that being faithed up there, Cindy. From Trust is a Must, Cindy. Trust is a must.
But it's so easy, though, and I'm guilty of this, is instead of going to God first.
Oh, yeah.
I put the burden on my own shoulders, and I try to figure it out, and I try to find a way to make it work. And, you know, and then when I get to that point, there's no humanly way that I can figure this out. then I turn to God and say, and so you got this, right? But yeah, and I know that he does. But what, you know, I don't understand. You know, I call myself the dummy. It's like, why do you put yourself through that? When you know God had you in the beginning, you should
right.
have put my hand first and say, God, okay, this is the deal. You already know. What's my part in it? You know, I know you're going to take care of things, but what do I need to do? And sometimes mm-hmm. you don't need to do anything, but just get faced up and go through the day and be cool. But we want to matter. We want to the humanness in us. We want to. It's like we got to try it first to see if we can take care of it before we ask God. Why is that?
It's so true. It's in a way, it's kind of arrogant of us thinking that we can, in our own humanity and our limitations, that we can solve something like the stuff I'm going through right now with my daughter again. Honestly, this morning, I just said, God, one more time, I give her to you all the time and have ever since she was in my tummy. But Lord, I can't fix this mess she's in now. Nor could I many of the other hundreds of messes she's been in. But it's a matter of just turning these situations over to God. And, you know, when we put on this perfume of his presence, that's this point we're on right now, and we dwell in that place with him, and we hunger to spend time with him, he moves into our circumstances. And let's look at point three, and then I want you both to comment on this, because point three goes right along with this. Naomi says to Ruth, get all dressed up. Get all dressed up is point three. Now, we have been told by God in the Word over and over again that he gives us a robe of righteousness. You remember the prodigal son in Luke 15 that took his father's, all his inheritance, and he left and he spent it on all kinds of partying and goofing around, and he ended up in a pig pen trying to get the food the pigs eat and all that from Luke 15. Wonderful story. Yet when he goes back home, he says, I got to go home because I know that my father will treat me better than this pig pen, you know, where I am. And what did the father do? He put a ring on his finger, which symbolizes our covenant relationship with God. He put sandals on the feet of this young man, and then that symbolizes the peace we have with God. And then he put a robe on him, and that all the way through the Word of God is talking about our righteousness. It's not our righteousness, it's being right standing with God, and we wear that robe. We can get all dressed up in the robe of righteousness. Woo, that'll preach. That will preach. Talk to me, Betty, and then we'll go to Cindy on all this. Put on your robe, baby. Put on your robe of righteousness. Woo.
Oh, yes, the robe of righteousness.
There you go. Get all dressed up.
Get all dressed up. You know, and all you have to do is, it's the easy part. Just put it on.
It is.
It's not difficult. It's not difficult to understand that when Christ comes back for his bride, that, you know, we are going to be clothed
yes.
with him. We are
yes.
going to be joined with him.
Yeah.
That cloak of righteousness is something that he gives us willingly.
Right. And we can wear it now. All the time.
Yes. Yes. All the time. I mean, we could walk around, strut, do whatever you want to do. But it's something that is there for us for the asking.
Woo. Get all dressed up.
Get all dressed up. I'll
just up and wait. You know, how does it feel when you get all guzzied up? I think that's an old word from the generation before us. But when you get all dressed up to go someplace or someplace real special, my granddaughter's getting married in October, and I'm excited about that. I don't know what I'm going to wear yet, but I know it won't be the shorts I have on right now and the surf shirt that I have on and my Birkenstocks. It'll be a little better than that. I'll get all guzzied up. You know what I mean? Cindy talked to us about, we can just put on his righteousness, his robe. Get all dressed up, honey. Get all dressed up. Woo!
Then we feel flawless. We feel so pretty and perfect and, you know.
Yeah.
Can't touch this. Feeling,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's what we do when we get all gussied up.
Right.
My grandma used to use that word, so I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, it's an old term. But
yeah, going back to what I was saying earlier about not asking God first in these situations we get in, and he just showed me while y'all were talking, and it's because we don't trust him enough.
That's right. Trust is a must.
So it's learning to trust. I think a little more with each situation, or a little more as time goes, a little more and more I relinquish my trust to God and in God, instead of, you know, I guess when you're a survivor and you've had a hard life and you've been knocked around, you grow up feeling like nobody's got your back, that it's just you in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn that it's a learned behavior, that you want to be in control and take care of yourself and fix everything. So trusting is the issue, and trusting God enough. It's like we don't want to completely let go of our trust in ourselves and give it all to
God.
Yeah,
that's it. Mm-hmm.
So it's hard, you know, but a little at a time. As time goes on, it gets easier as you see his blessings and miracles take place. It takes, you know, just with each that you experience, you get a little, I do anyway, I get a little more, I give up a little bit more control.
Yes.
And give God just a little bit more.
All of that.
It's a process.
It is a process, and all of that leads us so beautifully into this song, Oh, I Turn to You, by the group Selah. Love this song. Let's turn to him right now with whatever you got going on in your life, dear listener.
When I'm far away from home, and the cold wind starts to blow, when I'm empty and alone, I turn to you. Hardness in my heart, and I can't see the truth, and I'm wondering in the dark, I turn to you, and here in your holy presence, it's all
God. We got to turn to him.
I turn to you, Lord.
This is what Ruth had to do. She went to Boaz, and Boaz is representative of Jesus. She went to Boaz, and her mother-in-law said, take a bath, put on some perfume, get all dressed up, and go to the threshing floor, which is the area where Boaz was going to be that night. And after they had partied and whatever, he was going to lie down. And, you know, as soon as he got to sleep, then Naomi gave Ruth instruction. And this was very symbolic, what she told her to do. She told her to go to the foot of where he was laying, by his feet, and to pick up the blanket, so to speak, that he had over him. And she said, go there. Go to where he is. And this is what we've been talking about, Betty and Cindy. Go to where God is. God will meet us right where we are. But we have to put ourselves in the position of receiving what he wants to say to us and saying, God, I need to talk to you. I want to spend time with you. We need to carve out time to spend with God like Ruth went to the feet of Boaz. Betty, talk about that. And then we'll get to Cindy for her comments on that. Whoops. Sorry about that. I didn't have you guys on. Say it again. Start again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Hi. Sorry.
One of the things that's so symbolic is each of us has the right to sit at the feet of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Every one of us.
Every one of us has that God-given right to do, just to be able to sit at his feet, rest, recuperate, whatever we need, and that you can receive the garment of praise. I mean, there are so many symbolic mm-hmm. reasons in the Bible with clothing, you know, related.
There is, yes.
The swaddling clothes that they wrapped Jesus
mm-hmm.
in.
I mean,
there's so many symbolic reasons that when she did that, it was so symbolic of us being able to go to the feet of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
The same thing that Mary did when she, you know, when she washed Jesus' feet
Amen.
With the oil.
Same thing.
I mean, it's all through the Bible of what has transpired doing this, that it's relinquishing whatever we have, whatever we can't solve, whatever we can't do, Jesus can do. And because he is a God of giving, he is a God of blessing, he is a God of favor,
mm-hmm.
and he does delight in us.
Amen.
And that's what I think is so cool about the Lord, is that we come to him. We can go to him. We can go to the foot of Jesus. We can go to the bottom of the cross and look up and say, Jesus, you're not there anymore. You died for me. You died for Cindy. You died for Pastor Marcia. You died for all of us. I just want to sit at your feet.
Yes.
And just take in whatever you want me to take
Ooh,
in
amen.
That I need for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and I think that's when the presence of Almighty God comes upon us, no matter where we are, no matter what we've done, whether you're in your car, you're in your prayer closet, wherever you are, is that God takes us and holds us
Woo.
And says, my child, I am with you.
That's right.
And I think that he's ever present, always with us. His mercy, his grace, the faith that we have in him carries us on to the next portion of our life. And I think that's what Naomi was trying to tell Ruth, is giving her wisdom, giving her just a
right.
little nudge to say, hey, do this, you know, take a bath, put on some perfume, put on, you know, clean clothes, and everything has a timing.
Yes.
God's timing is perfect. And this is just, again, a pattern of what God will do in our lives if we let him.
You know, you're exactly right. It reminds me, as you're talking, of James 4, 4 to 7, where it says, draw close to God, and he will draw close to you, okay? And so often we think God has left us, when in reality, we're the ones that's left God. And so we see that with Ruth, because Naomi says, you go to him, okay? You go to where he is and lay at his feet. You know, we've got to be the ones that make time to worship and talk to God. God's always there. You're right, Betty. He's always with us. That's the most frequent promise in the Word of God. I am with you always. That is the most frequent promise all the way through the Word of God. I am with you always. He is always there. One of the last things Jesus said before he was raised up into heaven on the day of the ascension, when he went back into heaven, was, and I will be with you always, even into the end of the world. He is always there. Cindy, comment on this. Ruth had to go to where Boaz was, and we have to go to where Jesus is, and he is right here in our hearts. We don't have to go to a church building to find him. We can, I mean, I find him all the time just driving down the road in my little car. You know, I find him all the way. He's always there. Cindy, comment on that. Good stuff, Betty. Good stuff.
Woo. Well, it's no coincidence that in the devotional book that I'm into today and yesterday focused on that very thing.
Really?
Trusting God by sitting quietly in his presence.
Woo!
And also indicates that in the spirit world, our demonstration of trust weakens the principalities and powers.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
So it's like a weapon that we can use in with the Holy Spirit's power against the enemy by demonstrating we're trusting God in this situation. I'm going to sit right here at his feet and let him do his thing. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I think that's right on. And that's what it's all about. And when we don't take time, what happens is it's just like we were talking about the snow. After a few days, after it snows in Indiana, and you've got everything that's happened, people's exhaust from their cars, people trampling through, digging people out, all kinds of things happen. The snow gets looking pretty dirty. And when in our lives, with the daily stuff tramples us down in so many ways. And when we take time to go and sit at his feet, we take time to worship, we take time to surrender some time to him. Lord, I'm going to take some time right now and spend it with you. And that's a good thing to do when you're listening to the show. Take that time, take a block of time and listen to these shows and be fed. Let the word feed you. Betty, talk to us about that. Take time to sit with Jesus. Take time to sit with him. Woo.
Well,
sitting
know,
with the Savior.
Sitting with the Lord is something that we need to do more often. I think that he waits for some of us, and he waits, and he waits, and he waits. And there comes a point in time where, again, he will never leave us nor forsake us. But the closer we draw to him, the closer he's going to draw to us.
Amen.
Like you said in the scriptures.
Yeah.
And what better protection do you have against the daily stresses of life, against the wiles of the devil? What better place should you be than at the foot of Jesus?
There's no better place.
And it shows him a prime example, someone who has lost employment. And they just sit and watch television or, you know, stress eating like I do at times when I'm stressed. Instead of sitting in your own despair, if you have a Bible app, hit that Bible app, because the devil has you where he wants
you. That's right.
He doesn't want you at the foot of the cross. He
right.
doesn't want you bathed in perfume.
Right.
He doesn't want you in God's favor. He wants you where under his foot. Well, let me tell you something.
when you start praying, you start praising, you start asking for God's favor, you start asking and believing and trusting him, and your faith increases, your praises start, and it makes the devil mad.
Oh, it does.
And 'cause he knows that you're coming out victorious.
Amen.
You're coming out a winner. You're coming out a conqueror. And that's where God wants us to stay. He doesn't
Amen.
Want this roller coaster ride that we sometimes put ourselves on. It's he wants us to stay, and here's the word, consistent.
Consistent.
He wants us to stay consistent. And that, again, increases our faith, increases our trust of what Cindy said, you know, back at the first of the hour, trust.
Trust.
The more we trust him.
Trust is a must. And it reminds me of the series title here, Finding Favor Forever. This is not favor for just a certain period of time or one event in your life or a segment of your life. This is finding favor and walking in it from now on. That's what this series is all about, finding favor and walking in it from now on. You don't get so burdened down. You go and you sit at his feet and you surrender. You see, this whole thing of Ruth going to the feet of Boaz and picking up the blanket and laying under that was symbolic that she needed a redeemer. We need a redeemer. We need Jesus. And Ruth is saying, I can't do this on my own. I can't support myself. I can't support my mother-in-law. I need somebody to redeem me, to come in and take care of me. We need to be taken care of, folks. We need Jesus. We need God in all of his protection and the way his promises change our lives. And we need God, the healer, in our lives when we're going through aches and pains and sickness and disease and whatever it is that any of you out there are going through. We need our Redeemer. Cindy, comment on this before we get to this next song. We need our Redeemer.
I was just thinking earlier before the show began how, I'm on my feet a lot, all the time for my job. So I'm standing and I'm walking briskly, you know, and my knees hurt. I have arthritis in my knees. And I'm always taking that a leave ritually, like, day to day, consistent.
Wow.
Just so I don't feel that arthritic pain in my knees when I lay down at night.
Right.
Well, I didn't buy any, and I hadn't been, I didn't buy any. I had run out, and I've been praying for a new job and asking God to help me with a future plan for employment, and I know he's got something in the works, but that was one of my concerns was I ask the Lord to give me the strength every day to make it through the day physically and then to help me with that pain for the long run. The thing is, I can't continue to do this for years on. I have to find an easier way. And I noticed after about 3 days or four, I'm just going to work and I'm doing my thing and I'm not taking any leave. And it dawned on me that I'm not experiencing any of this pain.
Wow. Praise God.
And that's really big to me.
Yes, it's huge.
Because God knew that was on my heart.
Yeah.
And that's what my fear was of the physical pain of not being able to support myself.
Right.
But he let me know and reminded me that he can take that pain away in an instant.
Yes.
And you don't even realize it.
Yes.
Hey, that pain is gone. And maybe I won't have to deal with that now that God put his hand on it.
Woof.
But I had to ask for his help.
And as we draw close to him, he draws close to us.
And that's how it works.
And that is how it works. Whoa. It's interesting here in Ruth chapter 3 that what Ruth does symbolically here is to really send a message to Boaz that she's serious about being protected and cared for and being redeemed and walking in all the blessings that to be Boaz's wife would bring her. And she is submitting. She's surrendering. She's been on her own for a while. In fact, the reason she was so highly thought of in town was not only because she was Naomi's daughter-in-law, but because she didn't rush right out and try to find a young husband and try to get married right away. She waited on God for the right person. The right person turned out to be a person older than what she would have probably thought would be the husband that she would have. But people in town realized, in fact, they comment on it during this next chapter, this next section that we'll get to next week. They comment on the fact that Ruth was a woman of virtue. She did not go sleep around. She did not go try to make something happen with someone. She waited till the right time with God, and then God had a plan that was given to her through her mother-in-law, Naomi. And then she lays at his feet in surrender. And listen to this song, Oh My, by Terry McCallum. If this one doesn't bless you, I don't know what's wrong with you. I surrender all. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, that is the cry of our hearts. Lord, you have stirred us during this show, and you have spoken to our hearts. And right now, through this song and the others, Lord, you are telling us, speaking to us, that you'll make a way no matter what is going on, and that all you want us to do is turn towards you and run to you and sit at your feet and spend time with you and surrender to you and let you have the reins of our life, let you have the control. And Lord, there's so many times that we just try, like we were talking earlier, to figure it all out ourselves. We just think we don't need to bother you with it. But Lord, your word says that we are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we are to let our requests be made known unto you. And then your word says in Philippians 4, right after that verse, and then the peace of God will come upon us. Peace like we have never known before. Lord, I pray that our listeners that listen live or that listen at some later time around this globe will get this message today, Lord, that they will run to you and desire to sit at your feet, that they will want to know you more, that they will want to read the word of God, that they will want to get the message down on the inside of them that you love them and care about them, and that there is nothing that they can do that will separate them from you and your love. Lord, we believe that. Your word says there is nothing that can separate us from your love. And so, Lord, we stand on that. We're in agreement with that right now. We surrender to you again. Be glorified in us. Lord, let this show continue to reach millions of people. Let this show begin to really make a difference in people's lives. That's why we're doing it. That's why we're putting the money into it, God, because we want you to be glorified. We surrender anew this show and all that we do to you, God, for your glory. We want to sit at your feet, and Lord, let these concepts minister to countless numbers of people. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ooh. Wow. Betty, talk to us, and then Cindy. Oh, praise God.
Oh, I tell you, you know, it's times like these that you know that when you come up from your surrender moment that you didn't just cry, you came up changed.
Amen.
And one of the scriptures that God led to me is Romans 12:2, that says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, mm-hmm. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Amen.
And everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him.
Yeah.
And that's why that we have those surrender moments in our lives, so that we can get back in touch with the one who created us.
Amen.
The one who loves us more than anything else in this world.
Woo.
The one
Amen.
Who gives us more than we could ever ask for. The one who finds favor in us no matter what we do, no matter what we say, that he's always there. He will never leave you nor forsake you.
And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Glory in Christ Jesus.
Well, very well said. Cindy, talk to us. Wow, that was a really important moment on this show.
Mm-hmm. Very, very strong in spirit here at my end as well. My little kitchen just filled up with the spirit.
Woo!
Yeah, I think, and what I've been hearing a lot lately in the last week or so is a lot of fear in the world today, and a lot of people calling Jesus is coming soon, and a lot of people pointing out, and this is just in me overhearing conversations or maybe something that I read in the news, but a lot of fear is spreading, I think more so than ever. And we are experiencing, you know, the prophecies of, God's word stronger than ever. And, yes, it's getting closer to the time. So I feel like it's a privilege and so important to be a part of this ministry to reach hopefully millions of listeners out there, that we have the opportunity to reach them and help give them hope and alleviate the fears that they might be experiencing.
Amen.
Going through these last days. Giving them something to hold on to, and hopefully, you know, if they give God a try and use the principles that we try to teach here on the program, that we can change some lives and bring some peace to a lot of people. And I just feel really privileged to be a part of that. And I really thank God for putting me at this place and time.
Praise God.
I think it's pretty cool. So
pretty cool. Pretty cool. I want us to kind of end with Psalm 91 today. And Friday night at our Friday night gathering, and if you're in the Tampa Bay area, come to that. It's located at 3580 Almerton Road on Clearwater on Friday nights, starting about 6:30. But we talked about, I gave everybody a homework assignment this week, and that was to live in Psalm 91 this week. And it so goes along with Ruth, because she had to go under the wing of Boaz. She had to lay at his feet and tell him that she was ready to be taken care of and protected and provided for. And I want to read this out of the NIV, a little bit of it, and then you can, it's only about 16 verses. I'm not going to read it all, just parts of it. Psalm 91, and this was written by Moses, who so knew God's protection and his provision. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you're my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Boy, haven't we been talking about this. Surely he will save, and I'm going to make this personal. I'm going to turn it, make it personal, as I instructed our listeners or our church attendees on Friday night. Surely God will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers. Under his wings I will find refuge, like Ruth did under the blanket of Boaz. His faithfulness will be my shield and my rampart. I will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence. That's what you were just talking about, Cindy, all that's going on in the world, so much stuff. I will not fear that terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 my right hand, but it will not come near me. And I will only observe with my eyes and see the punishment of the wicked, because I have made the Lord Most High my dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge. Then no harm will befall me, and no disaster will come near my tent. He will command his angels concerning me to guard me in all my ways. They will lift me up in their hands, so I will not strike my foot against a stone. I guess I've read most of it. There was no place to stop. It's all so wonderful. So let's do that this week. That's your homework, listeners. Let's go to Psalm 91 and let's declare it over our lives that he is the one that we dwell in, the shelter of the Most High, him. And we do rest in his presence. Whoa, I'll give you both a chance to say a couple more things here, because we're getting close to our time. And boy, this show, it always just flies by, Cindy. It just goes so quick. You know what I'm saying?
Gone by quickly.
It does.
Yes, doesn't even seem like a week since we were here.
I know it. And I tell you, Cindy, from last week's show that you were on, that has stuck with me. Trust is a must. And the other concept, we got to be faithed up. And you and Betty, she accidentally said that, I think. I don't know. Maybe you meant to say that last week, Cindy, but it just resonated in my heart. And it's just, I've been living in it. I got to stay faithed up.
Well, it was intentional. It was a thought, I guess, because I don't know where it came from. I'm pretty good in my English. But yeah, that just popped in my head, and that's the word we want me to use.
Faithed up. There you go. Woo! Betty, you want to comment on that?
Well, I think that I'm going to challenge the listeners this week to live in Psalm 91.
Yes.
Once they get that concept of what God is telling them, I want the people who hear this to send us a prayer request.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I feel like in my spirit that there's a lot of fear.
Yes.
A lot of discouragement, a lot of stress,
depression,
right?
Lack of and insufficiencies in people's lives.
Sure.
And I think that once you get that scripture, understand the meaning of it, because the more you read it, the more you understand who they're talking about. God talked to Moses, but God is talking to us today.
Amen. Amen.
The scripture.
Yeah.
That rest in the shadow
yes.
of the Almighty.
Yes. Yes.
Let peace be your rampart.
Right.
Let your mind be peaceful. Let
right.
your body be peaceful. Your home, your family, your emotions. Let the raging waters in your life, let there be peace. Be still. Be still before the Lord. Concentrate on that scripture this week. And if you have a prayer request, send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Amen.
The people that are on that are prayer warriors will lift that prayer up to the Lord and know that, yes, peace, be still, know that I am God.
Oh, praise God. Amen. Thank you, Betty. Thank you, Betty. Cindy, a final comment. We got about 45 seconds here before we have to start the ending.
I just say to the people, as Betty did, we challenge you, send in a prayer request and then send us the praise report after God has answered.
That's right.
By him. And I am eyewitness to miracles and answer prayers in my own life every time.
Every time.
God. We have a mighty prayer team.
Woo!
So God bless everyone. It's
Amen.
Been a pleasure today.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Betty.
Bye-bye, ladies.
You're both wonderful. Woo!
Love
what a blessing. All right. And so we will be here again next week, same time. We always are. And actually, Betty and Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, they're ready to get those prayer requests. So send them. Call them. I mean, write them in. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Our texting number, if you want to reach out to us by text, it is a Google Voice number. It is 727-888-4171. If you want to reach somebody quickly, that's the way to do it. It comes directly to my phone, 727-888-4171. The other thing is you can write me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and we'll be more than happy to respond to you. You know, it's a joy to be on the air every week, and Betty and Cindy are a part of our radio team. I just thank them today and for every one of our radio team that ministers week after week on this show. You know, it's a joy. Check out our Thursday night Go Yard. It is a life coaching show with Dr. Angel Falzoni, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and me, Mama Mac, my other name. All right, so it's been great. Betty, Cindy, and me, Pastor Marcia. God bless you. Have a great week. And remember your homework. Stay in Psalm 91 this week. No distance to God.
To his side.